Well, good morning, everyone. John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of our country, once stated, "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove most useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year," end quote. Ulysses S. Grant, the 18th president, is quoted as saying, "Hold fast to the Bible. To the influence of the book we are indebted for all the progress made in true civilization, and to this we must look as our guide in the future." End quote. There is this statement made by our 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt: "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education," end quote. And finally, this quote from Ronald Reagan, our 40th president. He said, "Within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men must face," end quote. So do you sense a common theme amongst all these former presidents of our nation? All of them spoke about their admiration of the Bible and the impact of its words on their life, their families, the nation. However, in contrast, according to the State of the Bible poll conducted by the Barna Group in 2016, just one-third of Americans profess to be reading the Bible at least once a week. This finding is somewhat surprising in light of poll data, which showed that 80% of Americans still view the Bible as sacred literature, and 64% believe the Bible has more influence on humanity than any other text. Perhaps more troubling are current stats that show our young people also seem to be moving away from Bible reading. I'm going to repeat that. Our young people in our nation seem to be moving away from Bible reading. A majority, 57% of those as ages 18 to 28, read their Bibles less than 3 times a year, if at all. That's very troubling. So is there a connection here? Is there any relevance or relevance here to us today? Are we at Woodland Hills? Are we above and immune to all of that? Do we need to think seriously about our daily Bible reading and how and why we read the Bible? Well, as we start a new year here at Woodland Hills, I think it's especially important that we think seriously about our own Bible reading habits and talk about why it is so very important to develop the habit of daily Bible reading and immersion in God's Word, as well as how to make it a habit that sticks with us. So let's first focus on this morning on the why. Why it is so very important to develop the habit of daily Bible reading. Now, if you were to pull out your phones, don't do that. But if you were to pull out your phones and just do a quick search on the internet, you're going to find that the internet is full of more Bible study plans, methods, and techniques that you'll know what to do with. But here's the thing. These are methods that will only help us to do something that we should already want to do. They're only going to help us if we want to do them. If we don't see the purpose behind the method, we will end up quickly burning out and not follow through. And each one of these methods or plans, it takes time and effort. And if we miss a day or if we miss a week, which inevitably happens, feelings of guilt can quickly overwhelm us. So with that in mind, why should we want to? Why should we develop this thing called daily Bible reading into a habit? I'm going to give you 7 reasons to start out with, and then we're going to talk about the how. So 7 reasons. Number one, the Bible says it, God's Word saves us. Consider James 1:21, which says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness what?" What are we to receive with meekness? The implanted Word. Why?
Why? It's able to save your souls. Now, I should probably just drop the mic here, sit down, we'll continue with the rest of the service. That is good enough. The implanted word is able to save our souls. How? How do you ask? Well, we know how, or at least we can understand how. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by what? Hearing by what? How does faith come? Hearing through the word of Christ. So, without faith, we know it's impossible to please God. That's what Hebrews 11:6. And without faith in Jesus, we cannot be saved. Jesus said himself, I told you in John 8:24, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So again, why should we develop this daily habit of Bible reading? Why is it so very important? God's word implanted in our hearts, it leads to faith. Faith that saves our souls, and without this faith, we will die in our sins. And so, yes, I'm going to say this. Reading God's word is a matter of life, and it's a matter of death. But there's more. We're born again through God's word, the word of God tells us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Okay. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through what? Through what? Through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of God remains forever. My friends, from a life under the sun perspective, from a worldly type of perspective, we are all like grass in the field. We all grow up too quickly, it seems. We reach our potential in the prime of life, and then just a short time later, we wither and we will die. We are like grass. All flesh is like that. Yet the Bible tells us that Christians have been born again through the living and abiding word of God, and the word of the Lord remains forever. Anyone here this morning interested in that? Are you interested in remaining with God eternally? Again, I know I say this, and I do not say this in a trite way, but that's kind of the point of being a Christian. To be with Christ forever. And so, the Word of God remains forever, and we've been born again through it. So my friends, think seriously about reading the Bible. Number three, God's Word is able to build us up. Acts 20 verse 32 says, and now I commend you to God and to what? The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. In contrast, it's the lack of God's word. It's the ignorance of God's word that always has torn people down. Destroyed them. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Whose fault is that? Hosea says, because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So what do we want, my friends? What do we want? Do we desire to be encouraged, and do we desire to be built up into the image of Christ in this life, looking forward to the inheritance awaiting us in the next one? Is that what we want? Or in contrast, are we personally, not the person right next to you, not the church down the street, but are we personally choosing to reject God's knowledge? The Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So what do we want? What are we choosing? Another way to look at this is this. Have we developed the good habit of daily Bible reading? It is a habit. It is very good. If you have, my friends, if that's you, then fantastic. Keep that up. But if you have not developed this good habit, think about this. This means that you've really developed the bad habit of not engaging in daily Bible study. Not reading is not just being deficient. It's not a neutral position. It's actually harmful to your soul. And we live in a time and an age where the Bible is more available than ever before. So my friends, we have no excuse. We can read the Bible in over 554 languages. We can listen to it. We can stream it. We can download it. The average American household has 3.6 copies in their household. I have no idea how that's found out. 3.6. But that's the average. So really, we have no excuse not to read the Bible. Number four, God's Word, it keeps us from sinning. Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored up your Word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And then there's Psalm 119, verse 105, which reads, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the Bible connects storing up God's Word in our heart, think daily Bible reading, with not sinning against the Lord and showing us how to live correctly. And Jesus, again, is our example in this area. Remember how he successfully dealt with the devil's temptations in the wilderness. He consistently answered to the devil, it is written, such as passages as Matthew 4, verses 4, 7, and 10. So, like Jesus, we have to know the scriptures in order to use them against the devil in the battlefield that is our own minds and our own hearts. Number five, God's Word. It gives us hope. Romans 15:4 is to be understood as a reference to Old Testament scriptures from which we can learn that God, he always keeps his promises. Paul says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So the Bible is the foundation under our feet that gives us encouragement and hope in God that we need to remain hopeful in Christ through times of depression and suffering. My friends, God's Word was written so that we might be a people of hope in this world. We should take advantage of that precious, precious gift. Number six, God's Word blesses those who delight in it. Verses 1 through 3, Psalm 1, 1 through 3, speaks of the stability and the nourishment given to the one engaged in reading and meditating on the law of the Lord. I'll read those scriptures now. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Does that describe you? Is your delight in the law of the Lord? And on his law, he meditates day and night. Does that describe your habits? Daily, are you thinking about meditating on his law? Is that you? Verse 3 says, he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. So this phrase, on his law, he meditates day and night. Doesn't that sound like a habit? Have we made daily Bible reading a habit in which we delight in? Not a chore, but something we delight in. People who do are blessed by God. And I want to say something about that word delight. This doesn't mean that, especially if we're just getting into Bible reading, we must delight in it at the outset. I want to say this very carefully and respectfully, but as real as I can get. Sometimes starting out, daily Bible reading can be more like eating dry, shredded wheat. You know, the unfrosted kind. It's nourishing. It's healthy. It's tasty. But it's dry. If this is you, then don't despair, because by making daily Bible reading a priority, a habit, the delight, it will come. Because the more we immerse ourselves in the Bible, the more we will see its benefit, and the more connections we'll be able to make about how the Word applies to our life. And it's a process. Just like the tree yields its fruit, not necessarily immediately, but in its season, daily Bible reading will yield fruit in your life, and you will delight in it. So my friends, if that's you, don't give up and persevere through it. It is completely worth it. God's Word also gives us peace. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." My friends, our time on earth is incredibly brief. James 4, verses 14 tells us, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Will we come to the end of our life, and at the end, will we wish we had checked our mutual funds more often? Will that have given us great peace if we have done that? Will we wish we had read more internet news, fake or unfake? Will we wish we had watched more YouTube videos about dogs and sweaters? Will that give us peace? Perhaps, but probably not. At the end of our life, will we regret one moment of time spent in God's Word? Will we regret meditating on God's Word and the peace that it gives us? Will we regret seeking to apply it in our life? My friends, the answer to those questions will answer how we value God's Word, will answer what kind of priority we give it, and what we're willing to do with it. Think about those questions. And here's a warning we all need to think about. Even if we do not develop the good habit of daily Bible reading, time will one day catch up to all of us. So knowing this, will we live out our lives utilizing the benefits contained in God's Word? And will we face our judge, Jesus Christ, without knowing His Word? These are sober reasons why we all need to develop the good habit of daily Bible reading and immersion in God's Word. Now, let's talk about how. The how. Maybe at this point, and especially at this time of year, we're convinced that making daily Bible reading a habit is either something we want or something we need to continue. And yet, like every other important question, perhaps we should be really asking ourselves how. Now, I don't know if you've never engaged in that daily Bible reading. I don't know that. I don't know if you're currently engaged in it or have tried it before and failed. Whatever the case, I hope these suggestions will be beneficial to you. They're beneficial to me. Number one, start small. Start with small goals. Have you ever, like me, have you ever set a goal of daily physical exercise, especially this time of year? Try to do too much too soon, like 4 hours of cardio followed by 200 squats. How'd that go for you the next day? I think many of us have done something like that. Yet too much too soon can and does burn people out. There's a reason gym memberships are flourishing at this time of year, but by March, April, they really drop off. Sometimes when it comes to Bible reading, sometimes people will be convinced of the need for daily Bible reading. They'll dive into the Old Testament, and what will happen? We'll do great in Genesis. We'll start slowing down a little bit in Exodus, and then we'll run into the brick wall that is called Leviticus. That's a very worthy book. But there in Leviticus, before daily Bible reading has become a set habit, People will run up against some questions they just can't answer, and passages that are difficult to understand, and interest flags, and people might stop reading for a while only to realize they need to get back on track. And so they'll skip ahead to Numbers, and then there in Numbers ought to face the prospect of traversing the vast plains of genealogical record contained within. And I think we all know what happens to a lot of people after that point. It doesn't happen to everyone, but it does happen. And the whole idea is that sometimes people take on too much too soon and are quickly burned out. Often, the key to sustainability is to set realistic goals. So the Bible reading program that we have adopted as a church for 2017, it's available in the back. It's green. It's a 5-day reading program. And this year we're reading through the New Testament chronologically. And for those of you who might be asking, well, why is Mark the first one? There's a lot of debate what actually is the first book of the Bible chronologically. I personally think it's James. But this is a very good program to go through chronologically. And this particular program requires no more than a chapter a day. And it actually gives us 2 makeup days per week. So once we have done this once or twice, the idea is, if this is not actually a habit yet, do this, then try reading through the Old Testament in a year, which is substantially more material to cover, and then move on to the entire Bible. So with Bible reading, start small and then go from there. Number 2, set a daily time and place. Schedule this. And frankly, think very seriously about scheduling in the morning. Here's why. For many, daily Bible reading in the morning, it works best. And for good reason. Each day, what do? We roll out of bed, and as C.S. Lewis put it in Mere Christianity, he said, all of your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. How true. And all before coffee. Starting the morning in God's Word helps us calm down and live each day with our eternal perspective in place. It helps us tame the wild animals, so to speak. In reading God's Word in the morning, it also helps us fuel for the rest of the day. Daily Bible reading is very much like stored energy. It is like stockpiled emotional capacity. We make withdrawals on it for the rest of the day if we've done it in the morning. And just as it's preferable and it's prudent to eat a healthy breakfast to start out the day instead of donuts. I'm sorry, I like donuts too, but they're terrible for breakfast. My friends, don't start your day with spiritual junk food. Don't start your day with non-spiritual blogs or social media or TV or books or the like. Start it with the Word of God. Number 3. Begin your Bible reading with prayer. We want to be in a receptive frame of mind. This regimen is not just a check-in-the-box exercise. It's not just an exercise in speed, but it's supposed to be a life-changing one. Again, James 1:21 says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So if we find ourselves struggling through daily Bible reading, it may be that our prayer life is also not what it should be. As in, our prayer life might be inconsistent as well. And so these 2 habits, they often go together or coincide. So why not thoughtfully incorporate more prayer time into our daily schedule? And I know some of you, because some of you are like me, it may be strange at first to schedule these kind of things, but if you think about it, it sure seems like Daniel did. Daniel 6:10 tells us about Daniel. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he had done previously. And of course, Jesus was a man of prayer. Luke 5:16 says he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And Mark 1:35 says, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So my friends, don't cut yourself from your Father. Don't cut yourself out from your Father while you're trying to meditate on his word. Ask for wisdom, like James 1:5 tells us, from a God that wants to give it to you. Number four, read mindfully. The whole idea here is comprehension. We want to meditate on, we want to come to understand what we're reading. Again, Psalm 1, 1-2 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and is on his law he meditates day and night. So, keep a notebook. It's just a suggestion, but keep a notebook close by to write down your thoughts. And when you're writing down these thoughts, when you're studying through these things, ask yourself these three questions. What do the words mean that I'm reading? What do they mean? As in, what are the definitions of these words, especially the ones I don't know? Second, what do these words mean to the original hearers and readers? In context, what did they mean? And then third, what do the words mean to me today? And sometimes it'll help to read through the passage through more than one time. That way we can grasp the overall meaning of a passage and identify specific questions we want to address later. And remember, the goal is understanding, not speed reading or checking a box. To that end, it's very helpful to use Bible aids. Again, we might come across words or things that we don't understand, places we don't know. Our goal is understanding. So, use of a Bible dictionary or any linear or an atlas or website containing Bible maps, very helpful. As we read, let's take some time, jot down some questions that we have to be researched later. Because again, the idea is to grow in wisdom. Bible aids that I find useful personally are Bible dictionaries and concordances like Strong's, like Vine's, like Thayer's. There are more, both online and offline formats. There are online and linears like the one found on BibleHub.com that I especially appreciate. It's free. There are websites like BibleGateway.com, which gives us free access to multiple translations and robust biblical search engines. Again, free sites. And for what it's worth, if you'd like to sit down with me and discuss how these aids can be used, or just talk about specific questions you might come across in your daily Bible reading program, I am always available for that. I'd be glad to help you as we grow together in God's Word this year. Number six, employ others. In the same vein, one of the positive aspects of having a suggested reading plan for the whole church body here is that we can discuss what we read with each other. We can gain insight. We can strive together to answer these questions that we come up with and fulfill the biblical mandate to build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So let's take advantage of the fellowship that we have and the family that we have here and dive into the Bible together this year. Finally, number seven, end with prayer. End with prayer. Start with prayer, end with prayer. Brethren, let this scripture never describe us. Romans 1:21 says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. But rather, let's ask God to help us apply what we've read to our daily life and thank him for his goodness and his kindness. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. I really hope that this lesson has encouraged us to see the need for daily Bible reading. Or it's refreshed our commitment and desire to make it a habit. We've looked at seven reasons why we should read the Bible daily. We've also discussed seven practical ways how to start and maintain a Bible reading regimen. I'd like to leave you all this morning with one final thought. When it comes to Bible reading, sometimes we hear disciples say, I don't have time. Or I've ran out of time. Perhaps we've said things like that. In contrast, Jesus said in John 8:31-32, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." My friends, if we abide in God's word, we are truly his disciples. If we don't have time to read the Bible this week, then as disciples of Jesus the Christ, let's ask ourselves what we need to do to remove, what we need to reschedule to make the time for this. If our life is so full that we cannot pour in a healthy dose of God's word, my friends, our life is too full of the world. There's so much to gain, and there's so very much to lose if we do not. I'd like to now extend an invitation to anyone here that desires to become a Christian. The Bible tells us that we become a Christian by believing in Jesus, confessing his name, repenting of our sins, being baptized in water as an appeal for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus, for the washing away of sins, calling on his name. If we can assist you, please come forward while we stand and sing.